This is Carl the Jackal Frampton.
Hi, this is David Healy.
Hello, this is Stephen Ferris.
Hi, I'm Bethany Ferris.
Hi, this is Joey Barton.
I'm Jonas Gutierrez.
Hi, this is Harry Kuehl.
And you're listening to The Score.
The Score with Michael Clark. I'm a man.
And welcome along to The Score with me, Michael Clark. Here's what's coming up on this week's programme. In just a moment, we're going to be hearing from the Northern Ireland Football League's CEO, Gerard Lawler. They've announced a new five-year strategy for the league, and it gives us an idea of where football in this country is heading. Will you be happy with it? And how are we going to get there? Let's find out together. Gerard Lawler on the programme in just a matter of moments. Also on today's show, we are going to hear from Andrew Mitchell. That's the Coleraine Andrew Mitchell. He is back and enjoying life as a footballer again after an extended period out. He's scored a couple of goals lately and we look forward to catching up with him. And we will also be talking to another goal getter in Linfield striker Chris McKee. Five goals already in the top flight this season, plus European goals to add on top of that. He is a man on top form. They take on Loughall this weekend and are looking to get back to winning ways after losing out last time out against Larne. It's another great show. It's all coming up right here on The Score.
The Score with Michael Clark.
Good to have you along. A lot of interest around what Gerard Lawler has been saying this week. And whilst you've maybe read some of his comments, you'll be able to hear exactly what he thinks in just a little minute. But before we go into that interview, let's remind ourselves of the fixtures taking place in the top flight this weekend. Three matches on Friday, three matches on Saturday, and actually, there's also three matches on Tuesday. So of the Friday games, all 7:45 kickoffs. Glentoran against Coleraine. As we know, Coleraine represented on the show by a former Glentoran player in Andrew Mitchell. Larne against Carrick Rangers. It's a derby at Inver Park, whilst Newry City and Dungannon Swifts play it out at the Newry Showgrounds. On Saturday, Cliftonville travel to the Ballymena Showgrounds to take on Jim Irvine's Ballymena United. Crusaders, off the back of their heavy derby defeat to Cliftonville on Monday, try and get an immediate response when they host managerless Glenavon, who say they hope to have a new manager in place by the time they face Larne. Interviews underway. Very interesting times. And Loughall are against Linfield, and we'll have Linfield's Chris McKee on the show later on. On Tuesday, the other three matches, Cliftonville Coleraine, Linfield Crusaders and Loughall against Larne. Wow, it is just crazy. Such big and important matches everywhere you look at the moment. And I also want to say best of luck to Northern Ireland's women in their Nations League game this weekend away to the Republic of Ireland at the Aviva Stadium. And after that, they'll be taking on Albania at Seaview. And I hope that Tanya Oxtoby gets off to a flyer. And whilst we're talking about international matters, congratulations, I want to say, to Craig Cathcart on his career. He's drawn a close to it at the age of 34. He got injured in the game against Slovenia. He was forced on, really, after Northern Ireland had already picked up an injury. He had to come on. Probably hadn't got as much time as he would have liked, you know, to get prepared to be in the camp, but as ever, would never let Northern Ireland down and ended up picking an injury up in that match. Ruled him out of Kazakhstan, and he's had a bit of time to think about things, and he's decided it's time to call it a day. And only Craig will know whether, you know, now is the right time or whether he had a bit more left in the tank. But quite frankly, I think we should all just acknowledge the tremendous servant that we have had, and such a talent that we've been able to benefit from. So well done, Craig, and I wish you the very best for whatever you choose to do from here on in. Now, let's get into our guest, shall we?
The Score with Michael Clark.
Now, the Northern Ireland Football League have announced a bold and brighter future for professional football. 5-year strategy that has been presented, and to help us unpack it, the CEO of the Northern Ireland Football League, Gerard Lawler, is with me. Gerard, first of all, thanks very much for agreeing to do the interview. How excited are you with what you have presented to everybody?
It's a real cocktail of emotion, Michael. There's fear. Fear of failure, a failure of not delivering, but a real excitement and a boldness, hopefully, to say that we've been working on this now for about 6 months with the clubs, and we've had independent consultants, a number of other stakeholders, including the Irish FA, but predominantly and most importantly, our clubs. So it's a relief to get it out. It's a relief to get it done. And really what it is where we want to go and having the conviction to put it on paper to say, here's what we want to do in the next 5 years and here's how we want to get here. There's a vision, there's a mission, and there also of how we do that. The one part that I really want to nail our mask, our colours to the mask is our values and the values that we as an organisation live with. The values that we practice, more importantly, it's easy to have words, but we've got to practice these. We've got to encourage our clubs to practice them in all our dealings with them. So overall, a real cocktail of emotions of where we're going to go, but relief and excitement are the big two on trying to get it out.
Now, there's a lot of things, and I don't want to be oversimplistic in terms of some of the headlines from it, changing, tweaking perhaps initially the calendar of football in the country. I understand that to mean, you know, within the NIFL bracket, the three divisions as they stand at the moment. What is the timeline for that, and how drastic a change are we talking about here? I'm sure fans are wondering that.
Look, and this has been very deliberate. The one objective that we have put into this, Michael, is we've put less meat on the bones than this one, because we want this to be a journey for the whole football family to go on. So this has been prompted by the clubs, by this. So we did surveys with the clubs, we've did individual meetings, and a large proportion of our clubs are telling us they want to change the season. So it'd be foolish of us not to listen to them. But it's also be foolish of us to tell people what they're going to do. So the real hard work in that now starts. And I'm not only saying it because it's been dealing with the media. How does it work for the media changes season? We have current television contracts. How do they adapt? So we now need to sit down and analyse. I've used a term a lot today, soul search. And I think throughout this document, I believe there's something in it for everyone. But there's also a lot of soul searching we've got to do in what is the best for football in Northern Ireland going forward. Because there will be fear of where some people want to be in 5 years. And I respect that. But we have to dip our toe in the water. None of us like change. I don't like change. But there's a number of our clubs I feel are starting to run. I think everyone feels are starting to get ahead of others. Tiernan Lynch had a great quote at the weekend where he said, you stand still, people bypass you. Yeah, I totally agree with that. We can use all the cliches. There's a train leaving the station I use. Either get on it or you're going to be left on the platform. So it's now, and to answer your original question, I suppose, rather than the ramble, is we want to engage with people. We want to sit down to say, some people feel Boxing Day is very important. Some people it's not important at all. How can we get a model? How can we develop a model and a progression plan that we sit back in 5 years' time and say, thank God we did that. You know, we all, 5 years ago, we all played at 3 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon. You know, we've Friday nights, we've late Saturdays. Some people are saying late Saturdays. Sundays is still there on the agenda. So look at every other football league in the world. Look at the Premier League. They are really evolving. Now, people can talk about, oh, it's money and it's millions of pounds. But they are not standing still. They're doing things differently. The world is changing. Saturday for me used to be, you know, a day off, you know, probably a large percentage. That's not the case anymore. So many people have children playing football. You know, this is almost a reaction maybe to other areas of the game growing and people having children and them participating in different sports. So timelines is really difficult to put in this, and we don't want to put timelines on it. We want to sit down, do a lot of consultation. For me, there's two main models. One is a real summer season like down south, or there's the tweak. Now, is that tweak May to February? Is that tweak June to March? What are the objectives? What are the benefits? What are the negatives? Benefits are obviously European football. How do our clubs prepare in Europe? How do they develop in Europe? Because the better the clubs do in Europe, the better that obviously all our clubs do. Fan experiences. Do they want to come out on a cold, wet January night, or would they rather watch? How much will the holiday season? I mean, one of the things that I've spoke to the FAI about lately is that they say the season can dip down south during the real summer months. How do we deal with July in Northern Ireland? So there's more questions coming out of anything. But suppose what we are saying, we are here in our clubs, which is the core purpose of NIFL. We're an organisation ran by members for members. And a large proportion of those members are saying, we want to have this conversation. We as an organisation and as a staff are going to facilitate it, along with other the PFA and other bodies, and we will see where that takes us.
And alongside this work, the Irish Football Association are looking at a review of the structure of football and the framework that we currently have. Where is that at the moment, and when could we expect to see developments on that?
I'm actually not sure. We haven't entered into formal conversations, but part of this soul searching, and that will be good for us because it'll give us some answers. You know, if we want to be more professional and we want to grow the game, I've two ways of looking at this. Number one, there's two options in this. Some of our NIFL member clubs might say voluntarily, that's really not where we want to go. Mm-hmm. We don't have the resources to go there. We see we are not a professional full-time club. We're maybe suited better in the intermediate game. Don't know. Better in the amateur game. Can there be better leagues? Or is there an increase in NIFL? Is there, because for us in our document, and I think we're saying the pyramid doesn't flow from north to south as such, is there an increase in NIFL leagues? You know, we're saying we have three. Well, looking at the National League in England, looking at some of the, you know, is three enough for NIFL? Should we have more leagues? Should we have two leagues? Should we have one league? These are all the conversations. So we are not fully engaged in the IFA process at the moment. That has been intentional agreement between both parties. They're doing their consultation with their members. They'll get the finding of their member clubs, and then we'll sit down and we'll look together where NIFL can fit in and then talk to our member clubs of what they see as best. So there's a lot of work in that one also to be done.
I see you. Do you have a preference? I'm looking at the word professional, hearing the word professional, and some teams are saying, well, we're not really professional ourselves.
I suppose the one thing from the board, NIFL and a CEO, we want to be professional. Now, professional very much in the administration. Okay. So the word, as we look in the document, comes professional, is very much geared towards we are professional, we're a professional organisation. NIFL's professional in everything we do. In the document, as I say, we have put values. Those values are passion, progression, inclusivity, accountability and integrity. That's what we want to be portrayed at. The day of the old Irish League, I think, and somebody sits in an office and there's two or three staff have long gone. I mean, we look at our own turnover and where we're trying to go. So the professional for me is more there. Some of the other tools is how do we make the clubs more professional in their administration. But it's the professional game. NIFL is the professional game in Northern Ireland. So can you have a professional organisation with professional clubs, with a professional game, and you don't have professional full-time football? I don't think that is the right way. Obviously, that's where we want to go in the future, and we need to work with clubs to get there. But it's not an immediate. We're saying 5 years, we want everybody. I've said that previously. I believe the club, and this has been welcomed, and it's been like everything in society, there's a lot of money in football in Northern Ireland now. Long gone, like I was involved in a club for a long, long time and used to sign players for £30 and £50 a week. Those days are long gone. I look at models and I use a scenario of people maybe who are getting £350 a week in their day job. They earn £600 at their football club or £800, but the day job is the full-time job and the football's the part-time job. that for me is a change in mindset that we need to. And I think hopefully as the league becomes more professional, the clubs, the players' mentality, having the PFA on board, everyone working together, the flip will happen gradually and we will have. I mean, we look at the clubs down south. I look at the Faroe Islands now who have a team in the group stages of European competition. Tell me the Faroes are a better league than the Irish League. So there's some things we're not doing properly. We need to identify them and we need to change them.
And having it down on paper, you talk about a bold and brighter future. It is quite bold to do that. Quite exciting as well. There will be people always wonder what goes on in these offices, what goes on outside of a match day. For you to make that commitment and say, well, in the next 5 years, here's the direction of travel, I guess speeds up those conversations and sharpens minds about what everyone's trying to achieve.
Yeah, look, I mean, I often joke, and it's a joke, but it's not a joke, the question I've posed since I've arrived, and you've heard me ask it a million times, is what is NIFL? Mm-hmm. And I think over the last 2 years as a CEO, I have tried to identify what is NIFL and what does NIFL want to be. I believe this document is the answer to what I've heard from our clubs and our stakeholders of what they want NIFL to be. And this is me saying, right, with the NIFL board, we will be what you want us to be and we will deliver it. The thing that I always say is, people think we just organise football matches. I say now we're almost a PR and marketing company that runs a football league, because 70-80% of what we do is around the promotion, the organisation, and putting out the messages. That's what we do constantly. Putting two teams out on a Saturday afternoon with a kickoff time and the IFA putting a referee in is very little to what we do now. So we're evolving as an organisation, and we believe clubs want us to evolve more and they want to evolve alongside us.
And so what are the main things that we need to prepare ourselves for going forwards in these next 5 years as fans, as you work with your clubs and your stakeholders and with the Irish FA, whether it be, you know, in terms of lobbying government, trying to make these improvements, what should we brace ourselves for?
Well, I'm going to ask the fans, first of all, and this is a big part of it, Michael. You know, part of the strategy is we want to set up fans forums. We want to engage with a fans forum, you know, and that's something we have. As a league, we've left that to clubs now. We don't get involved in that. So that's a big part of this for me, because, and I know we all hate to use football fans as customers and audience members, but that's what they are. We want more of them and we want to increase them, but we don't ask them what they want. So that's where we need to change the mindset within football and soul search. I mean, the change this season will take the headlines, but outside of it, there's talk we want to make match day experiences. We want to make them more family friendly. We want them to become events. When we do it is obviously a large part of that, be it in the season, when's the kickoff time. You know, so it's really listening to the fans to see where we want them. One thing that struck me, and a background that I come from, is, you know, is I started off in supporters' buses at 18, 19 with a carryout going to a match on a Saturday afternoon and a few beers after. There's no more passion than probably a lot of those supporters' buses travelling up and down the country with joy or disappointment. We actually want to engage with those people to see, well, what does this work? Everyone in some way or other struggling. I know the supporters' clubs, there's not as many buses going. People drive, they take... You know, so supporters clubs, getting people to games are struggling. Cost of transport's more. How do we talk to them? So we want it to be very wide-reaching to see engagement is the big key to this and chatting to people. But yes, headlines is season, where we go, how NIFL's going to behave, how we're going to promote the game, where we're going to promote the game, when is the game kicking off, is our normal... You know, we'll always and appreciate the media partners we have. Is there more media partners? Is there a different way for us to do it? What is the next 5 years of television looking like? You know, you and I talk about this offer an awful lot. There's so much new technology. How do we get involved? How do we embrace it? But as opposed to put it all, we want to make the Irish League experience a lot better for the supporter. And that's what this is all geared towards. So hopefully... If you say to me in 5 years, it's much better going to an Irish League game than it was 5 years ago, that'll be an indication of success.
And do you think this in many ways is a product of we'll use the word journey, the journey that NIFL has had to this date, that you can maybe be a bit more ambitious with your planning now and talking about adding another 40% on the attendances, talking about looking at the league's coefficients and challenging for European spots, and actually coming out and saying, we want these achievements, and we're not afraid anymore to say we're going to go and get them.
Taking it back a step, this originates from the success of clubs. And, you know, Lorne and Kenny coming in and really raising the bar has prompted other clubs, which has prompted the league. So for us to drive this forward now, it's a really good place. And look, we could sit back and go, Niffles, everybody loves it. It's better than it was 5 years ago. Let's sit here for the next 5 years and be left behind, or really grip the challenge to say, no, here's where we want to be in the next 5 years. And this is where we're going to project to grow. So that's really the vision. The clubs deserve all the credit. The ladies game at something is in massive growth in NIFL. It's almost outgrowing NIFL in some cases. So again, we have to react to that. We have to move with the times and be better prepared to be more administrative, to create a, you know, for me, we are the structure for clubs to develop in. So do we need to tweak our structure now to allow the clubs to grow and develop further within our structure? Yes, because if not, NIFL will get left behind and the clubs will progress on.
And finally, with that spirit of confidence, I think that we're all sitting in now, how big can it get? You know, is there another league you look to as an example of why not be like them or be better than them?
I think ideally, if we're looking at tenses, I mean, we've got to look down south as a starter. We've got to look at some cases in the lower divisions of the EFL, of the English Pyramid. We've got to look at the Championship in Scotland as local indicators of where we are. So they're probably the three that we engage with a lot. We talk about, we look at, we look at their incentives and see how they grow. But yeah, I mean, look, if we could progress to maybe with the SSE at Tricity, that's a step in the right direction around attendances. But then we got to bring facilities and product along with, and they've all got to go hand in hand.
The Score with Michael Clark.
Now let's get our first player of the show onto the show this week, and I am delighted to have him on. He has had his fair share of woes, but it's all happy days now because he's back playing and back amongst the goals. Corian's Andrew Mitchell. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, Michael. Great to be on, thank you.
Well, it's great to have you on, and I mean that. It's great to see you playing again. It probably has felt like a difficult couple of years for you.
Yeah, it is. It's certainly been a challenge, I suppose. I suppose the last 18 months, I suppose, it's been really, really difficult in terms of being out injured and different things, and it definitely can take its toll on you, I suppose. But thankfully now I'm on the right side of things and making good strides forward.
At the worst point, I mean, where were you at mentally? Was there any part of you thinking, maybe this isn't meant to be?
Probably an awful lot of people maybe don't know that last year, I think it was around October time, I'd went to get an MRI scan just on my groin. It's been giving me trouble, I suppose, for a good few months, and I had a couple of injections to try and help it, and it didn't really help. So I got an MRI scan, and I got a call to school basically to say that I had to go straight down to the Royal because they'd found a blood clot in my pelvis, and really it kind of took me by surprise. And then I was basically told that, you know, you're going to be out of action for the next 3-4 months. You're going to be going on blood thinners, and that it was pretty much indefinite as to when I'd be able to come back. And that was probably the lowest I've ever felt, just not knowing if you're ever going to be able to play football again or do any sport. But thankfully, after the 3-4 months, the blood clot sort of disappeared and the blood thinners worked, and I was able to get my operation over in London in April time, and I haven't looked back since.
that must have been really scary. You know, it's one thing thinking, right, this is a persistent niggle or pain or discomfort, and then for someone to deliver the news that it's a blood clot, you go, oh my goodness, this is a lot more serious than I could have imagined.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I wasn't expecting it at all. I knew there was something wrong in my groin. I just knew I couldn't sprint, I couldn't kick the ball. And it was really, really hampering me. And when I got the news, I didn't really know how to react. I just thought, I'm too young for a blood clot, I'm healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I eat well, I train well. You just never expect it to affect somebody who's young. But thankfully, you know, it was purely by chance that they found it. If I hadn't been in with my groin problem, they said they'd probably never have known, and it could have been bad at any time for me. But I'm just glad that they found it and that I got the right treatment. And now it's sort of in the past, and I don't really want to think about it anymore.
No, and I can totally understand that. You've always been a sensible guy anyway, but when something like that happens in life, it probably brings things into a whole different perspective.
Yeah, definitely does. I suppose, you know, I've just been so used to be going to training on Tuesdays and Thursday nights and matches on Saturdays, and when you actually stop and you're not allowed to do it anymore, you obviously get time at home and my young son Luca and with my wife. And listen, it was nice to be at home, and your family is your most important thing. Football is very, very important to me, but you always look and your family's a great support to you. And certainly during that time when it was really, really difficult, they were definitely of a huge support to me.
And now back, able to be playing regularly again, how sweet was that feeling when you got your first league goal back?
Oh, I mean, it was amazing. If you'd have said to me probably 4 or 5 months previous, would you ever get back to where you were? I probably would have told you yes, but I probably wouldn't have fully believed myself. But to get back and to score goals, especially in important games and back in the Premier League, I mean, it's a feeling you can't really describe. You just have to cherish every goal you score and every minute that you do get in the pitch now. And I certainly feel that way. Whereas maybe before you were maybe just expecting, you know, to play minutes, and you were just used to it in a way of going. But now when you do appreciate that football can stop at any time, any minute you get or any chance you get, you've got to take it and you've got to enjoy it. And especially in the lock goal game, I knew maybe that Chevy wasn't going to be fit for the game, and Oren sort of maybe indicated to me that, you know, that I would be playing, and I knew that I was going to go out and give me all. And thankfully the goal came sort of in the first half and eased a wee bit of any nerves that I had of coming back. I mean, it had been 18 months from I'd kicked my last ball, or 16 months maybe from I'd kicked my last ball, so it was a long road. But now we're on the ascendancy and looking forward and looking ahead.
And Newry City, the latest team to be on the wrong end of a goal from you. And if there was any nerves late in the game, you know, after they'd pulled one back and made it 2-1, you scoring in stoppage time just, you know, allowed all of that just to relax from a Corian perspective.
Yeah, I mean, I think we'd been burnt before by being 2-0 up against Dungannon. I mean, they scored two an extra time against us not that long ago. And I suppose when you see a goal going in with maybe 10 minutes to go, you're probably thinking, goodness, here we go again. But to be fair to us, we weren't going to let it happen again. And it was good to have a wee bit of link up with Chevy, and probably took a poor enough touch, first touch, but it was a quick enough reaction to get back up for the next opportunity. And it definitely put the game to bed, and it was certainly a game where we needed to bounce back. We probably weren't on the best run over the last sort of month or so, and it sort of gives us a wee bit of confidence now going into tonight's fixture against Glentoran.
Well, it brings us on nicely to that, doesn't it? You know, you can talk about not being on a great run, and that's absolutely fair enough. But should you win, and I'm not trying to get ahead of myself or put you under any extra pressure, but, you know, should you win that game, you have a game in hand over Glentoran, and the difference would be 3 points. So things can very quickly change in this sport, as you know better than most.
Yeah, I mean, it does change. It changes all the time. I mean, certainly within our league, it's ultra competitive. Any team will beat anybody, and I suppose that's been the case for a long time in our league. But it just shows that you have to be on your game every single game. And if you drop your standards or you drop short in any way, you'll end up being on the wrong end of the result. Glentoran's going to be a big test. They're a great side. They've had their investment in their players, and to be honest with you, on paper they probably have the best squad in the league when everybody's available. But traditionally the games have always been fairly tight over the years, and I would say, you know, tonight will more than likely be sort of a tight enough affair, and hopefully we'll come out on the right side of the win.
It is, of course, as well, one of your former clubs. Your time there, how do you reflect on it?
I mean, I enjoyed my time at Glentoran. I made a lot of friends. I had some great experiences playing in Europe. First time I got to play in Europe. And, you know, I was obviously there for the Irish Cup win. Unfortunately, I was cup tied. But those are memories that stay with you. At that time, you know, I had to move on just in terms of the full-time aspect. Obviously, with me working in school, I was having to leave school very, very early in the afternoons to sort of get down for training. And I just knew that it was probably impacting on my school life and my main job. And I felt that it was time for a move, and moving on to Coleraine has been of great benefit to me personally. And obviously the first little while at Coleraine probably wasn't what I expected, due to injuries and different things, but now I hope people will be able to see what I'm about, and we'll be able to see some more goals flying in the back of the net.
Yeah, I was wondering that. In some ways, does it feel like your first season? You've been there a while, you know everybody, but, you know, you can just let the shackles off now and go, hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely does feel like a totally fresh start. From when I went into pre-season, you know, I was in whenever the boys were off, I was in every Thursday for about 6 weeks, and then doing my own stuff at home, and then in the pre-season and working with the team, and right through to now, it definitely does feel like a fresh start. It probably didn't start way back in 2022 the way that I wanted. Injury came on me pretty quickly, and I just couldn't get rid of it. But now things are looking a little bit more positive, and I've got to be thankful for that, and hopefully we'll make good progress this year.
And I take it you're going to wear the gold kit later on tonight. There won't be any changes at halftime this week.
Hope not. And do you know what, I think I was watching from the side in the first half, and Josh Carson got the ball in the middle of the park, and Carson very rarely gives the ball away, but he just passed it straight to the striker of Newry, because he genuinely thought it was one of his own players. The kick clash was that bad. So I'm not too sure how the referees maybe didn't recognise that there was going to be a clash, but yeah, definitely the goal kit shouldn't have any clashes.
No, I think it looks quite smart actually as well.
Definitely does. Really nice feel, good material, and it's a pretty unique kit for the league.
The feel of a kit as well. I'm just thinking, right, as the league has really, really grown in recent years, looking back, were some of the old kits uncomfortable? Were, you know, because some of them were certainly less stylish.
Some of them were fairly poor now, yeah. I remember when I started out at Glenavon, probably 2011, 2012, in around that, we had an Umbro kit, and it felt like it was just cotton. I don't know how they washed it. It was dreadful. There's been a few other questionable kits throughout the years, but certainly over the last number of years, the standard and quality of the kits and the designs have been super, and hopefully long may it continue in the league.
Yeah, all the things that footballers here are adjusting to, not just new kits, club media in general, there's so much more coverage. I don't think you're ever too far away from a camera now. I'm just curious to know how you've felt the league has progressed in the last decade and what it's like to have been a part of it.
I mean, from I've started out, I've probably been playing maybe 11 or 12 years now, and from where we were back then to where we are now, I mean, it's totally night and day in terms of the promotion, the advertisement, the coverage, the reach that you can get to people, and obviously that comes via social media and different things. But then that brings out the people on a Saturday or a Friday night or whenever it might be, and getting those Friday night games I think are of great benefit to the league. I think I don't know what the stats are in terms of is there more crowds on a Friday or Saturday, but I would probably think a Friday night game you probably would get maybe more people through the gate. But in terms of the media side of things, I think NFL have done very, very well in terms of their promotion of the league and getting fan engagement levels up with different interviews online and all of that sort of stuff. And I think that's only beneficial for the league and the exposure that gives to people who are maybe or maybe haven't given Irish League football a chance before, that they can decide maybe pop down to a game and see it for themselves.
And they're talking about, as one of the ways to improve it further, and we heard Jared Lawler on the show a little earlier on talking about summer football or a tweak to the calendar. There's nothing set in stone, but they want to look at what the best dates are to allow our teams to be as successful as possible, especially those with European football in mind, which could well include yourselves. As a teacher, it could actually mean that you don't get that summer off anymore.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that. I mean, listen, at the end of the day, if it's going to benefit football in this country and the powers that be believe that it will benefit, well then why not give it a go and see how it goes? I don't think there's any reason why there couldn't be a trial of it and see how it goes for a season. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. If it does, then you stick with that model. I think traditionally here, a lot of us are just used to that normal calendar every single year, and you sort of just get into that routine of knowing that you're off in May and June time, and you can kind of get your holidays as a teacher. I mean, I still have to take my holidays in July time, really, when I get off school. And if it does materialise that the league will be in July time, well, just don't have to get any holidays then.
I'm sure that'll go down a treat.
That wouldn't go down too well, I don't think.
Cross that bridge when we come to it, maybe, Andrew. Is probably the most diplomatic answer we can give at this stage. Looking at the league as a whole, we can see the standard increasing, we can see that the quality of players across it, but we can also see investment coming in, and there's been some big news, Carrick Rangers, but also Coleraine with investors. What's been relayed to you as players? Are big changes afoot?
To be honest with you, Michael, I have no real knowledge of what's going on. I just know that as far as I was aware, that it was in the very, very early stages, and I think a vote was passed a couple of weeks ago. But I mean, it's not something that's been discussed, and certainly Warren hasn't discussed it with the squad, and we just go about our business as normal, and we don't really pay any attention to what's going on unless there is a major change in what's happening. But obviously the investment that's been mooted out there is going to be a benefit if it goes through, and it will only make Coleraine stronger and will make it certainly more competitive in the league to sort of try and keep up with the Larns and the Linfields and the Contorans and Crusaders, who are sort of in and around that full-time model.
Maybe when we see your chairman arrive via helicopter, if Jamie Glacken pulls in the Lamborghini, then we can start knowing that the money's arrived.
Then you'll know it's definitely there.
That would be an interesting one. Maybe Korean fans can have their own ideas to when they'll know the money arrives, we will see a player do X, Y, or Z. Very interesting. In terms of the season, you've come through, or at least you hope to have, that difficult patch. Is that good feeling there? Is that confidence there that you can maybe now string a few runs together? I know tonight's game is obviously going to be a big challenge.
Yeah, I mean, I think winning's a habit, and you know, if you keep winning, it just keeps the ball rolling and keeps the confidence high. I mean, listen, when you lose points like we have lost this year, it's extremely frustrating. I think we went to Carrick at the start of the year and start of the season, and we just weren't good. We just weren't good that night. Then obviously Dungannon as well. We drop points too. It's about picking yourself up from those disappointments and ensuring that it doesn't happen again. I mean, the game against Glentoran is going to be a huge game, but it's a long season. Teams will go through bad patches, teams will go through good patches, but it's just about trying to be as consistent as possible and to have less of the bad patches and more of the good.
Well, do you know what? It's been brilliant catching up with you. I'm glad that you're in good health. It's great to see you out enjoying your football, and I'll be at the game later tonight, so I will no doubt grab a wee chat then. But thanks so much for coming onto the show, Andrew.
Perfect, Michael. Thank you very much.
The Score with Michael Clark.
Great having Andrew Mitchell on the programme, and from one forward to another, let's bring on a guy who has had a blistering start to the season. He has really made people stand up and take notice. It's great to have him on the show. A warm welcome, first time on actually, for Chris McKee of Linfield. Chris, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's always good to talk to another Carrick man off the bat. That's it. That's a nice way to start things.
100%. Carrick born and bred.
And I want to talk about maybe a couple of wee Carrick connections down the way, but let's start with Linfield, because all the Linfield fans are delighted with your form, and I'm sure on a personal note you're really happy with how the season has started for you too.
Yeah, 100%. Obviously playing in Europe and stuff like that, there getting them two goals early on obviously built my confidence up really well, so I think that left me in good stead playing them games, getting fit over pre-season, things like that there, to go in and hit the ground running within the league campaign, and thankfully I've done that, and then hopefully I can continue to do that, keep my head down, keep working hard, and then hopefully the team can keep picking up results and keep ourselves up there challenging like we always want to do, and hopefully I can keep banging them in.
And you talk about confidence, how important is that for a player? Because I know, you know, you train really hard and there's the repetition of getting the minutes and the matches, but feeling good in yourself, it does seem to have a huge impact on players.
Yeah, it's massive. So it is, to be honest. Confidence is massive within football, especially as a forward player, because if you're not confident, then you're just not, end of story, you're just not going to play as well. And my career hasn't been all plain sailing, so it hasn't. I've been very lucky in the opportunities I've been given and things I got there, but I've had lots of ups and downs within my sort of young career, so that's something where it makes you more mentally tough as you get into the senior game and stuff. So no, confidence is massive, and happily at the minute I'm really, really confident when I'm playing and things I got there. So as I say to myself all the time, I just need to keep my head down, keep working hard, and then hopefully things keep going well for myself and the team.
And this feels like in many ways a breakthrough season for you, where you're one of the first names on the team sheet, you're a regular starter in previous years, and you're only 21, let's make sure everyone remembers that, but you know, in previous years it's maybe been start a game, on the bench a game, that sort of thing.
Yeah, well that's it. When I came in alone when I was 19, I obviously came in and I hit the ground running there as well. The manager was really good to me then, because I came off the back of sort of a lung injury, and then I had COVID right before I joined, so I was sort of getting like 30 minutes, getting a start here and there, building my fitness and stuff back up, and sort of getting used to the way the team play as well, because it's a lot different than when you're playing for the likes of a Rangers B team to a Linfield first team. The men's game's a lot more different, so he was really good with me that way. And then obviously on that loan spell I got in, then I played sort of the rest of the season, about 10 games in a row, so and I was banging in goals, doing really well. Last season it was a bit more frustrating at the start of it in terms of game time and things like that there, but I just sort of kept my head down, keep working hard, and then thankfully once I got my chance, sort of come just before Christmas time, I sort of broke in and I stayed in for most of the rest of the season anyway. So that, but no, definitely like this season, that's me aim. I want to stay in this team for the full year, and I want to contribute, want to score goals, I want to set up goals, and most importantly, I just want to help the team go and hopefully take back the league, win the league again, and other trophies if we can do that as well.
What has that expectation level been like? People talk about the pressure when you go to a big club, but how do you process that as a young player finding your way in senior football?
It is, it's tough, but I've been quite lucky throughout my young career, obviously being at Linfield and stuff like that there, and then going to Rangers, that's much the same. Like, the pressure when I was a kid, I was very lucky. I played in a very, very, very good 2002 team at Linfield, and we were known, we were the best team. We were the best team an academy has seen coming up through Northern Ireland in years. So we always had that pressure, no matter who we went to play, they wanted to beat us and things like that there. So sort of got that pressure from when I was a young kid. And then the same again when I went to Rangers. Like, you go to Rangers, obviously you're massive teams against Celtic and things like that there, but then you're expected to beat everyone within your leagues and your other games, things like that there. So I think having the expectations, so it was really, really young, helps me transition in the first team football. Of course it's going to be, there's higher expectations when you come to Linfield first team, because you're expected to win everything, you're expected to win every game, so it's a different kind of pressure, it's more pressure, but it's something I've sort of welcomed with open arms. Like I've always said it before, like, I don't think if you don't like the pressure and you don't want the pressure, I don't think you should be playing for a club like Linfield. I don't think you should be playing. That's why I play football, for that pressure. I want to win trophies, I want to perform, I want to entertain. So it's a good thing, as long as obviously it does, you don't let it affect you mentally and stuff like that there.
And what is the feeling this season? I know you'll not be delighted with the last game and losing to Larne, but overall, what's the mood like at the moment?
No, it's great. So it is. All the lads, our changing room, super. So it is. So there's not a bad person in that changing room. Everyone fights for each other. Everyone fights for the shirt. So it's really good. Obviously, we're disappointed coming off the defeat against Larne, but it's just one of them things. You just have to take it on the chin. Now it's finished. We just need to look at what went wrong, what we could have done better, and just really take it into the next game. And now we've obviously got a big game coming up against Saturday against Loughgall, especially down at their home place. So it's not going to be easy. They've started the season really, really well.
They have, and they're a team that doesn't look like they're playing with too much fear. They're just grabbing the Premiership experience with both hands and getting a few scalps along the way. And when you go into a game like that as the favourites, well, you go into most games, don't you, as Linfield as favourites, maybe it doesn't feel too different, but you'll be wary of them coming at you and trying to pull off another upset.
100%. I think this league's so good now. Like, I've always sort of followed the Irish League since I was young, and followed it when I moved across the water and things like that there, so I've always known how competitive the league is, no matter who you're playing. So it's going to be another tough game, because they're obviously, we talked about confidence before, they have loads of confidence by the seams of it at the minute. I've not been able to see too many of their games or anything like that there, but they've had some super results and they're sitting really, really nicely in the table. So no, it's going to be another tough game, and they'll not make it easy for us, but it's a challenge we're welcoming come the weekend.
How big, you've referenced your time at Rangers, how big was that time for you in terms of your development as a player, and what were those early experiences like? Was it a real eye-opener going in and seeing how they did things?
Yeah, it was. I've been very lucky through the club and I system, and through Linfield as a kid, I pretty much trained full-time anyway, but it just sort of goes with the facilities and being a full-time player just with the club. It goes to sort of another level, really. So when I went over there as a young boy, it was tough at the start, so it was, to be fair. But once I sort of settled in and got into it, I did really well, and I really enjoyed my time there. And there's a lot of people that, and they know themselves, that really helped my career and had big influences within my career, and I've learned a lot. So no, it was great, like, good experience.
It must be tough going, you know, and being thrust into that environment, because it is so competitive, and maybe football in general is just cutthroat. I don't know, do people outside of football appreciate how, you know, even your friends are competing for your position on the pitch?
Yeah, 100%. Like, it's dog eat dog, no matter where you are. Like, I think everyone sees footballer as it's a dream job and it's all highs, everything's great, but And it is, don't get me wrong, like, I'm very grateful that for my job at the minute, and hopefully for long to come, that it's football. Do you know what I mean? I get to go in and play football every day and things like that there. But it's not easy. Like, it's a mentally tough tough sport. So it is, because as you said, like, everyone wants the jersey off you if you're playing. And then if you're not playing, then you need to be mentally strong to keep working hard to try and get the jersey back and things like that there. So it's definitely, it's tough, but it's a challenge you just have to relish. And I think as you get older, more experienced and things, you're able to deal with it more, as obviously you've learned from things in the past.
And who have been those role models, or who have been those people that have helped, because you speak in a very mature way, who are the people that help you keep you grounded and help keep your spirits up when, as you've already said, you know, there have been challenging times in your career?
I think first and foremost it would probably be my family, to be fair. Like, I'm very lucky that I've grown up with two great parents, my mum and dad, so they've been great with me. They've always kept me grounded and that there, so them two have been great. And Stuart Connor, one of my first coaches, he's been great for me as well. And there's so many I could mention, but from my time at Rangers, probably Kevin Thompson, obviously played for Rangers, played for Middlesbrough and stuff. Kev was massive for me when I was at Rangers, so he sort of took me under his wing, and he taught me a lot. So he did, especially about being mentally strong. I remember asking him one time, like, especially when he was playing at Ibrox and stuff, when he was still playing, I said to him, like, he played centre mid, so I was like, if you've lost the ball like 4 or 5 times, how do you still have that confidence to get back in the ball and stuff? And he just said to me a bit of advice that sort of has always kept with me, no matter who he was going out to play against, no matter if he was going out to train in a game, anything, he just kept saying to himself, I'm the best player on this pitch, I'm the best player on this pitch, and shows how mentally tough he was. And it's something that sort of always stuck with me.
I love that, because, you know, we watch footballers, we think we understand football, but only other players really can get what it's like to be in that moment. So that's a nice little snapshot of what someone, you know, with his experience was going through, and, you know, trying to nearly fake it till you make it sometimes, isn't it? Just telling yourself, my next touch is going to be perfect. The next time I get a chance, I'm going to bury it. If it hasn't been your game, I'm going to make it my game.
That's it. Like, coming off the back of all the advice that we've given over the years, first and foremost, I always say to myself, like, if I'm not having a good game, just work hard for the team, and just work as hard as I can, run as hard as I can to do what I can for the team, even if it's not all paying off in terms of on the ball, chances and things like that there. That's what I make sure to do first and foremost. So, no, a lot of people have helped me throughout my career. Another one would be with Scotty Irvine, who's obviously Carrick's assistant manager now. I work with him in the counties, and Scotty's been great with me throughout my career. Sometimes it's nice, no harm done with that, but speaking to someone sort of, my dad just thinks the same as me, or if I speak to the likes of Scotty or Stuart, people like that there, they can sort of bring you back down in the realisation and then give you some really good advice. So no, I'm thankful for everyone who's given me advice throughout my career so far.
I think everybody has that relationship with their dad, don't worry about it.
100%.
What about when your manager is the country's all-time record goal scorer and your job scoring goals? What does that feel like?
It's tough at times, so it is, to be fair. Like, the manager is really, really tough on the forwards, so he is. But again, like we spoke about, the pressure of that and things like that, there, it's just something you need to take on. And look, manager being a striker, obviously, and me being a striker, similar sizes and things like that, there, he give me good advice. Could be tips and tricks as well. So no, it's tough at times, but it's something I always back my own ability. So do I always back my goal scoring ability and my ability to play football. So it's something, if I just keep my confidence high, that hopefully I can just keep doing throughout the remainder of my career.
And I mentioned you being a Carrick man, and you've obviously talked about there Scotty Irvine, Stuart King. Something that maybe some people wouldn't be aware of is you're doing a bit of coaching in the little spare time that you have.
Coach down at Carrick Rangers with just the wee young boys. They're only 6 and 7 years old. It's the 2016, so I do a bit of coaching there with Stuart Connor, like I've mentioned before. So no, it's really good. We've got a really good group of coaches down there, and a really good group of young players who are willing to learn, willing to have fun. They're all wee headers, like, but no, it's great. And I just like it. I grew up through Carrick Rangers Academy, so I just want to sort of give back and sort of pass my knowledge on to them. So no, it's great. I really enjoy it.
I'm absolutely not trying to retire you at 21 years of age, for goodness sake, but is that something that maybe one day coaching or management you could see yourself doing when you're old and past it?
I think so. Now, obviously, I just do it. It's fun, and I'm doing my badges and things like that there, but as you said, because I'm still so young, it's not something I've fully thought about. I think it'll probably be something I'll think about in a deeper manner come sort of towards the end of my career, but at the minute, my thoughts are that it's something I would want to do when I'm finished playing and things like that there. And I love football, so I've really enjoyed coaching since I've started, so I think it'll definitely be something I do get into once my playing days are maybe come to an end, which is hopefully not for a very long time at the minute.
Well, just to show you how well you're doing, and I know strikers hate when people talk about their league goals because they just want all their goals lumped into one bigger number, but 6 league goals in each of the last 2 seasons. You've 5 league goals already in this campaign so early on, so I know you'll not want to get carried away with yourself, but have you a number target in mind?
Not really, to be honest. I sort of just go in and I know it's cliche, but just sort of taking every game as it comes at the minute, and then hopefully I can rack up as many as I can to help the team out and things like that there. I don't really have any set targets, anything like that there in terms of goals or assists. But no, I of course want to get into double figures, so I do, but I wouldn't say I have an exact number that I'm aiming to get, just as many as I can.
No, nothing wrong with that. And just finally, you've talked about, you know, the personalities in your team. When you were initially coming to Linfield on loan, who were the people that helped you settle in? You know, when you join Linfield, there's those leaders in the camp, and any team, any good team, should have them that you kind of walk in, you go, right, these are the guys, and they make the place a bit more just easy to adapt to. Who are those people for Linfield?
See, to be honest, it's such like a boring answer and things like that there, but see all the senior players there, and especially when a couple of years ago, I know a few of them have left now, but everyone was so good with me, so they were, and so much advice, because it was such a difference going playing sort of under 21s, under 23s football, the playing first team within the Irish League, it was so much different. So they were all great with me. Obviously the likes of Marty Donnelly was there at the time. Marty was great with me. There was Jimmy Callagher, Quinny, and obviously the boys still there today, Shieldsay, Kirk Clarkey, Muggers, I could name loads of them. So good. So no, everyone was great with me, and you walk in that changing room, everyone, no matter if they're a more experienced senior player or they're a young boy, everyone's so welcoming, and it's like a big family. So no, everyone was great. So it wasn't, because it was quite daunting, obviously, my first day going in. I just signed a loan and things like that there to a club that I've watched all these boys playing for the past number of years, so, and they're such big names within the Irish League, so it was quite daunting. But after my first day, it was just made easy because everyone was so dead on, and they were such good lads.
I know I said the last question was the last one. This is, did they do an initiation, or were you let off the hook?
No. So what happened was, obviously, I came on loan for 6 months, then signed permanently in the summer. So we went to Marbella for a training camp. And then I had to do a dance with it, so I had to sing a song.
Oh my goodness. And singing it for us now, here he is.
No chance, I'm rubbish. I'm no use at it.
I definitely have a singing voice. Don't worry about that, Chris. What was the song? We'll have to imagine it.
It was Impossible by James Arthur.
That's not even an easy one.
It was quite a sad song, but it was the only one I sort of knew all the words to at the time, and I was put in the spot, so that's just the one I went with.
Oh dear, you know, I think the advice is, when you're given an initiation song, think of something you can kind of chant or rap if you don't want to sing.
And Joel Cooper was super at it to be fair, so he was, and they did take a leaf out of his book in it.
Well, I'll know that for a game now. Post-match interview, try and get Joel into the sing songs. But look, Chris, great to have you on the programme. Wish you all the very best for the season ahead. We've only just started. There's so much of it still to be played, but you've been doing brilliantly, so fair play to you.
Thanks very much. I really appreciate it.
The Score with Michael Clark.
And just like that, we're at the end of the programme. Hard to believe. A big thank you to Chris McKee, to Andrew Mitchell, and to Niffl CEO Gerard Lawler. And incidentally, when we're talking about coefficients in Northern Ireland being in the top 35, of the club coefficients. That's actually a reference to the league from where it is at the moment, just outside the top 40, climbing a few spots. It doesn't mean that the clubs are going to be the top 30 or 35 clubs in Europe, just in case there's any confusion around that particular point. And equally, when they say summer football, I think Jared was quite clear in what he said, that it's talking about a change in the calendar, not necessarily mimicking the Republic of Ireland. That's just one of the potential options down the road. So there's going to be a lot of questions, I think, raised from today's programme and from that interview and what Jared has said. But they're saying, look, the end goal is they want to make these improvements. This is some of the ways, or these are some of the ways they think they could make those improvements happen. But ultimately, it's going to be the clubs that decide whether they go down this road or that road or no road at all. And we'll ask more questions, but fire them into us as you're listening, as you're hearing it. I value your thoughts. The Score and I, drop me a message. Let me know what you think, whether you're not having it, whether you love it, or maybe you think, actually, here's how they should do it, because this is a programme that is able to put your questions, your point of view, to people and get it out there. So it might be in a future interview with Jared Lawler that your question gets asked. So don't be shy. At The Score and I is where you can contact me. But we're out of time for today. So all that remains to be said is enjoy your weekend of sports. Bye-bye.